Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in this morning. This is Watcher Ruth. Wonderful morning, August 3rd, 2013. You're listening to the program Here, There, and Everywhere, where I talk about the lunatic fringe, the things that you don't want to talk about, least of all, know about, but absolutely need to at least think about once in a while. Why is all the world up in turmoil? Why is it that we're overdosed with information, too much information, too many details of the world, too many things to think about, overwhelming, totally overwhelming. I feel like I'm in a tsunami of, oh my gosh, just stressful information from everywhere. I didn't want to do this program this morning. I was overwhelmed. Still am. But I was inspired to get in the Word of God because He said you need to do this. And here is what He said. Let heaven and earth fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven. And with Christ and with God. And when Christ, who is your real life, comes back again, you will shine with Him. And you will share in all of His glories. Away then with sinful earthly things, dead in the evil desires lurking within you, have nothing to do with sexual sin. We've talked about that before, sexual sin being set apart sin. Impurity, lust, and shameful desires, don't worship the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. So, there's a lot more after that too, but one thing that he said was that you are to pray every day. Get on your knees and get in your prayer closet right now. Take the time and pray that he will find us worthy, that he would make us worthy to escape the wrath of this world and Satan's plans for us. We know that the New World Order is more or less thinking that they're in their completion of their plans. But we're still here. Elijah was as completely human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for the next 3 years and 1.5 years. And then he prayed again, this time that it would rain. And down it poured. And the grass turned green. And the gardens began to grow again. Praying in truth and understanding the Great Commission. Dear brothers, if anyone has slipped away from God and no longer trusts the Lord, and someone helps him understand truth again, that person who brings him back to God will have a saved, wandering soul from death, bringing about the forgiveness of many of his sins. And God has reserved for his children a priceless gift of eternal life. It's kept in heaven, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will make sure that you get there safely to receive it because you trust in him. And it will be yours in that coming last day. And he wants you to remember that these trials of this world are only to test your faith, to see whether or not it is strong and whether or not it's pure. Because the test of this world, the trials given in this system, they are the tests that refine and purify your faith. They refine and define. They separate the wheat from the chaff. They separate the goats from the sheep. Because what is left of faith is like gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in this test, in this test tube of fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor in the day of God's return. Will we descend into a bomb shelter? Will we call ourselves to walk in fear like those that don't know Jesus? You want to talk about it? This is Watcher Ruth. I'd love to have you call me and talk to me a little bit. My guest caller number is 347-945-5170. I was given some prophecy about a year ago or so. And I talked to this friend of mine, Christy Johnson, who has another radio program, asking her about gates. What did she think about gates? I didn't know about portals at the time. She could only bring to mind the gate, the eye of the needle or such. And at that point, I didn't know about portals, but I'm here to tell you that those portals are opening up, and it's been revealed to me. So, whatever you do or say from now on, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus and come with him into the presence of God the Father to give him all of your thanks. And when you go about in the world, he's calling you to be respectful and loving and kind and not to be bitter against your brother. In all things, be obedient. Always work hard and be cheerful in everything that you do. And do not let this world be your master. Jesus Christ has promised to give you all of your full portion of what he owes you. And that's what you're working for. So make sure you always give him your best. So, the real prophecy for today comes from the prophet. And in these final days, he's going to raise up prophets and those who are stand-apart people. And you're called to be a stand-apart people. He's called you to pray. Pray each and every day for the olive tree, for the moisture, for the dew of the ground, for all that God wants to be sown. And God will have mercy upon those who you reel in today. He says, I will transform her valley of troubles into a door of hope if she will respond to me, if she will sing with joy, as in the days long ago in her youth, when she is freed from her captivity. We are the fig tree generation, and we are called to be prophets and to be watchers on the wall and to let the people know what's coming. And we are called to witness to the people of the rebellion in their hearts against God. Hosea 8 says, sound the alarm. They are coming like a vulture. The army descends upon the people of God because they have broken my treaty and revolted against my laws. We don't know what the future holds. He has told us in Hosea 6, verse 5, I sent my prophets to warn you of your doom. I've slain you with the words of my mouth, threatening you with death. Suddenly, without warning, my judgment will strike you. Surely as the day follows night. I do not want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want offerings. I want you to know me. Yes. And isn't it something that I wanted to forgive Israel, but her sins were far too great. No one can even live in Samaria without being a liar, a thief, and a bandit. Her people never seem to recognize that I'm watching them. Their sinful deeds have given them away on every side. I see them all. Now, it's the king's birthday, is it not? I understand it's the king's birthday. But in Hosea 7:6 it says, the king is glad about their wickedness, and the princes laugh about their lies. They're all adulterers. As a baker's oven is constantly aflame, except while he kneads the dough and waits for it to rise, so are these people constantly aflame with lust. You know, I listened to an interview with a guy named Larry Sinclair talking about a book called Sex, Drugs, and Murder, all about Barack Obama. King. Interesting book. On the king's birthday, the princes get him drunk. He makes a fool of himself and drinks with those who mock him. Their hearts blaze like a furnace with intrigue. Their plot smolders through the night, and in the morning it flames forth like raging fire. They kill their kings one after another, and none cries out to me for help. Now, we're going to go to the A in the bottom of the page here, which says that there were three kings, Israelite kings, assassinated during Hosea's lifetime. Are they not assassinating kings now over there at their discretion and will. My people mingle with the heathen, picking up their evil ways. Thus they become as good for nothing as half-baked cake. Worshipping foreign gods has sapped their strength, but they don't even know it. Ephraim's hair is turning gray, and he doesn't even realize how weak and old he is. So, wow. We have not kept the promises that we were supposed to. Wine and women have made us weak. Wine and women and song have robbed my people of their brains. Hosea 4:11. That's what the Word of God says. But what are we to do when we have information overload and everything is so overwhelming? We are to not take part in the world's worries, because I have bound you to me forever with chains of righteousness and justice and love and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness and love, and I will really let you know me then as you have never known me before. Because in that day, said the Lord, I'm going to answer all of your pleadings of the sky for clouds to pour down water on the earth in answer to its cries. At that time, I will sow a crop of Israelites and raise them for myself. I will say to those who are not my people, now you are my people. And they will reply, you are our God. We will be their wife, their Lord God, the Messiah and their King. We will come trembling and submissive to the Lord and to his blessings in the end times. Yes. But there will be that which must come in the final days, in the fig tree generation, in the land, that is not producing. It will be filled with sadness. It is. As the prophet Hosea says, all living things will grow sick and die, and the animals and the birds and even the fish will begin to die and disappear. Yes. Do we not see it? Have we not heard from Stan Deo? Have we not heard from others what the final days will be like? Hosea says, don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame to him. Look to the priests. I'm pointing my finger at you, he said. Is the sentence for your crimes, you priests will stumble in your brood in broad daylight, as well as in night, and so will your false prophets too, and I will destroy your mother Israel. The false prophets and the priests that stumble around like a brood in broad daylight. My people are destroyed because they don't know me. And it's your fault, you priests, for you yourselves refuse to know me, therefore I refuse to recognize you as my priests. Since you've forgotten my laws, I will forget to bless your children. And thus it is, like the priests, like the people, because the priests are wicked, the people are too. Wine, women, and song have robbed my people of their brains. They long after other idols made of wood and stone. They wish to serve other gods, deserting me. Let us return to the Lord. In just a couple of days, or three at the most, he will set us on our feet again to live in his kindness. 3 days. Well, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. How do we understand God's love when we're faced with an overload of information? Some of it's fabricated, I'm sure. We are saved from sin's grasp by knowing the commandments of God, because we can't and don't keep them. But God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body, like ours, except that ours are sinful, and destroyed sin's control over us by giving himself as a sacrifice for our sins. For all of us who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And so we should not be like cringing, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family and calling to him Father, Abba, Father. Holy Spirit, prayerfully calling out, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So, dear brothers, have no obligation to your old sinful nature to do what it begs you to do. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we really are God's children. And we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have that treasure. And since we are his children, because we are waiting for the revelation of the sons of God, literally, this whole creation is groaning in travail. And we're waiting together, even until now. Yes. And since we are his children, we shall share his treasures and the persecutions. Just as the apostles did. Just as Job did. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Just as Daniel did. The afflictions of this world, not imputed by the Father, Creator, God, as Satan gives the curse, as he impaled upon Job in this tent. For all God gives to his son, Jesus, is now ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must share his suffering. This is Romans 8, verse 17. Yet what we suffer now, 18, is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for the future day when God will resurrect his children. The resurrection day, family. Blessed are those who have the first resurrection, and woe unto those who have the second resurrection, because that's the resurrection unto death. Yes. Yes. For on that day, thorns and thistles, sin and death and decay, the things that overcome the world against its will at God's command, will all disappear. And the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin which God's children will enjoy. Because the tares are harvested first and thrown into the fire, and then the wheat is harvested and brought into the barn. For we know that even things of nature, like animals and plants, suffer in sickness and death as they await this great event. Yes. It is appointed on demand, one time to die. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of the future glory, also groan to be released, to escape from pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including new bodies, as he has promised us, bodies that will never be sick again and will never die. And the Father who knows all hearts, he knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying, as each spirit within us, he pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. Because he left in us, each and every one of us, an intrinsic knowledge of him, so that none would have excuse. So then he says, remember what Christ taught, and let his words enrich your lives and make you wise. Teach them to each other and sing them out in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing to the Lord with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or whatever you say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and come with him into the presence of God the Father and give him your thanks. Yes, most of all, don't be like those. Don't be like those of the world. Be full of tenderness and mercy, as the Lord's final plans are revealed. Just as Job suffered greatly, Job is an example of a man who contained what you will need to trust in the Lord in sorrow. But most of all, dear brothers, do not swear either by heaven or earth, or anything else. Take no oaths. Just say a simple yes or a simple no, so that you will not sin and be condemned by it. Go out each day praying, and if anyone is sick, call on the elders. Touch him in the name of Jesus Christ and heal him. Call on the Lord out in prayer every day in faith, just as Elijah did, because he was completely human, just as you are. Come again tomorrow. Thank you for listening.